Good morning. Today's Daf Rosh Hashanah Chaf Beis. We're starting with the Mishnah Chaf Av Amud Beis, and Mirtz Hashem, this morning we're going to be finishing the first parak, beginning now the second parak of the Masechta. In terms of Dapim, it's really unbalanced, this Masechta. Right? The Masechta, we're going to be done in a couple of weeks, and meanwhile, we're still in the first parak. First parak occupies more than half of the Masechta in terms of Dapim. Okay, but that's how the Masechta works. Anyway, so the Mishnah now, this is one of the last Mishnahs. As we see over here, as we're finishing up the first parak, we're going to go through a series of Mishnayos. But this is now a continuation of the mitzvah of Kiddush HaChodesh. So we've transitioned now in this Masechta, mid-first parak, and we went from the general topic of Rosh Hashanah, so that occur over the course of the year, and now we're moving into Rosh Chodesh. So we already discussed in some detail regarding those unique Rosh Chodeshim of the year, in which we're going to be disseminating the information to the population. That's going to be six Rosh Chodeshes of the year. That was the previous Mishnah. And then in yesterday's daf, we talked about the really two special Rosh Chodeshim, meaning post-Churban Beis HaMikdash, when there was no longer a Karban. And now you're not going to be Mechal Shabbos every Rosh Chodesh, because there's no Karban to take into consideration. And now it's just a question of highlighting the two Rosh Chodeshes that are the most significant. So we learned in yesterday's daf, in the Mishnah, that it's Nisan and Tishrei. Why are Nisan and Tishrei so special? So Nisan and Tishrei are special because they are the ones that that all the Yamim Tovim are connected to. So as a result of that, they have a unique aspect to them. They still, even after the Churban Beis HaMikdash, so the Eidim can be Mechal Shabbos. Okay, and we're going to come back to discuss more about Chil Shabbos and the Eidos, as we learned yesterday, and we're going to make this point as clear as possible. So for being Mekadosh HaChodesh, for the process of witnesses coming to the Beis Din, so they are allowed to be Mechal Shabbos for that. So for Kiddush HaChodesh, you're allowed to be Mechal Shabbos. But after that, for dissemination, for informing the population in terms of when Beis Din declared to be Rosh Chodesh, for that you're not allowed to be Mechal Shabbos. Those shlichim who go out and disseminate the information to the population, so they're not going to be overriding the Shabbos. They're going to have to travel. They can only travel on non-Shabbos days. And in the month of Tishrei, we discussed this yesterday, so their days are limited, more limited than the month of Nisan. Even though for both Tishrei and Nisan, Yontif occurs on the 15th day of the month, but on Nisan, you just simply have more travel days. In Tishrei, you have less travel days, because in Tishrei, you have Rosh Hashanah to take into consideration and Yom Kippur to take into consideration, aside from the Shabbos or two Shabbosim that may occur. Good. All this is what we've been discussing. We continue. We are with the Mishnah right in the middle. Chaf Aleph Amud Beis. So the Mishnah says, Bein Shni Rabba'alo, Bein Shlo Nirabba'alo. So it's a really clear night, and you're looking up, or it's a clear night or clear evening, right? And you're seeing now the new moon. The new moon is going to be witnessed sometime right around sunset. Okay, we discussed this yesterday in some detail regarding the patterns of the moon and the sun. Anyway, but the new moon now is visible, and it's visible to everybody. There's not a cloud in the sky, right? You go to Eretz Yisrael during the summertime, so not a cloud in the sky. So Bein Shni Rabba'alo, Bein Shlo Nirabba'alo, Mechalan Alav Es HaShabbos. According to the Tanakhama, so let's say you are a witness. You saw the new moon. Now, for you to get to Yerushalayim, now remember, by the way, the Chil Shabbos that's allowed is only for those people that are traveling within the day. Because if it's going to take you longer than a day to get to Yerushalayim, don't bother, right? Don't waste your time, don't be Mechal Shabbos, because the whole point of going to Beis Din is to testify today that you saw it. So in the event that you saw it, and you're within a day's travel of Yerushalayim, so now you're going to be Mechal Shabbos. And according to the Tanakhama, even if it's a clear night, what's so special about a clear night? So the chances are, not only did you see it, but chances are that people that are within Tchum of Yerushalayim also saw it. So now there's really, probably there's no good reason why you should be Mechal Shabbos, but according to the Tanakhama, no, if you're the one who saw it, so you should be Mechal. You may end up becoming a redundancy. You probably are going to be a redundancy. So the Tanakhama says, I don't care. You'll go. You'll go and you'll testify. And even though it includes Chil Shabbos. And Rabbi Yossi, Amrim Nir Rabba'alo, Mechalan Alav Es HaShabbos. And Rabbi Yossi says, no, if it's a clear night and you can see it clearly, so don't be Mechal Shabbos. There are people living proximate to Yerushalayim. They're going to go to Beis Din. They're going to testify. They don't need you. So over here, Machlokus amongst the Tanaim, whether the chances are is that you'll probably end up being redundant. So should you be Mechal Shabbos? Tanakhama says, yes, you should. And Rabbi Yossi says, no, you shouldn't. The Mishnah follows up with a story. Maaser Shavri Yoser Me'arba Im Zog. So 40 pairs of witnesses were on their way, were en route to Yerushalayim. Vikram Rabbi Kiva Balud. And Rabbi Kiva says, you know what? Why don't we stop right here? In other words, we're at the town of Lud. Lud is within a day's walk of Yerushalayim. Actually, if you can remember, that's going to come up a little bit later in the Masechta. Anyway, but Rabbi Kiva says, no, don't go. Stay here. In other words, there's no need for you to go. And presumably, we're talking about where this occurred on a Shabbos. Makes a lot of sense. That seems to be the Hemshech of the Mishnah. Anyway, Shalach lo Rabbi Gamliel. So Rabbi Gamliel sends a letter to Rabbi Akiva, and Rabbi Gamliel was not a fan of what Rabbi Akiva did. And im akivata es harabim nintzis machshim lasid lavo. And so Rabbi Gamliel says, as far as public policy is concerned, this is a mistake. Because once you get ingrained into people's heads that they don't need you, so then no one's going to come. Meaning not them, and not other people as well. Meaning what we want over here is encouragement. We want to encourage people to come. Either may end up becoming overlap and redundancy. I don't care, says Rabbi Gamliel. As far as public policy is concerned, we want people, we want to encourage people to come. We need two kosher witnesses to be made. But if I end up stopping some people, so then really no one's going to be motivated to come. And so Rabbi Gamliel says, let's reconsider this position. He said it much stronger than that. Again, from the Hemshech of the Mishnah, that it sounds like you're saying good pshat, right? I would agree. So my mashma the high alal lishon demiglehu. So first of all, the word alil in the Mishnah. So right, I translated it as it was clear, but the truth of the matter is the Gemara itself is a little bit curious about that word. Where do we see that word? So you got to go deep into Tanakh in order to find it. I'm Rabbi Abba, or I'm a Kras. So we have it, but like I said, you got to go. It's not, you're not going to find it in Chumash. You're going to go past Chumash. True of the matter is you're going to go past Nevi'im. We're now already in Ksuvim. So then you're going to find it. So Imros Hashem, Imros Taharus Kesef Saruf Ba'alil La'aretz Mezukak Shevasayim. So the Pasuk in Tehillim describing the word of a Kadosh Baruch Hu. So it is clear, right? In other words, you have to look at it in context, right? Like a silver that's smelted, that's really refined. To the point where it's really clear. Okay. And now, as long as we're here, as long as we quoted the Pasuk, so the Gemara is going to go off on a little bit of a tangent. So Rav Shmuel Charamar Nun Shari Bina Nivra Ba'olam V'chula Nitna L'moshe Chasar Acha. So, as far as Shari Bina, the gates of understanding, so there are a total of 50. So as far as Moshe is concerned, so he went up the ladder of Bina. So he went all the way up to 49. So Shenamar V'tachzorem Ma'ad Me'elokim. So quoting a Pasuk from Tehillim, so he went all the way up, But just one shy of 50. Okay. So, and I'm sure everybody connects this to the 49 days that we're counting from Pesach to Kabbalah Satorah. Okay. Anyway, Moshe had the clearest understanding and insight. So the Gemara says now Bikish Kohelsim so Divrei Chafetz. So now the Gemara quotes the pasuk from Koheles, and that Koheles. Koheles is another name for Shlomo HaMelech. So he wanted to also climb the ladder. So Bikish Golas Leos Kamoshe. So and Shlomo wanted to be right at that level. He also wanted to get to 49. So Yatsabas Kovarma love because of Yoshi Divrei MS. So Velokam Navi O Bi Yisrael Kamoshe. So the pasuk goes on to describe, no, in other words, that's not your place. In other words, Moshe Rabbeinu stands alone at the top of the levels of Bina that he of understanding. And nobody matches Moshe Rabbeinu. So Amar b'Nevi'im lo kam b'Malachim kam. So I'm sorry, V'chad Amar. Sorry, I skipped two important words. Okay, so according to one day, in other words, there's a machlokes between Rav and Shmuel. And as you know, in the world of Agadata, this happens. We're going to see this a lot in Megillah. We don't know who said what, but it doesn't matter. In other words, the one position is that Shlomo HaMelech, despite the fact that he had wisdom and his wisdom was on a really high level. But according to one opinion, has not achieved and not reached the level of Moshe Rabbeinu. That's one opinion. And the other one would say no. That it's true. The pasuk says lo kam navi od be Israel. That no navi has obtained the heights. That's true. But that's in the world of Nevi'im. But in the world of Malachim, yeah, you have a Melech who's reached that height. Which Melech are we talking about? Obviously, Shlomo HaMelech. Elama ani mekayim bikesh kohelsim so divrei chafetz. So, okay, good. But now we're going to go back to a pasuk in which Koheles was requesting something, meaning he made a request and he was denied. So if we're saying now that he wasn't denied Bina and he actually achieved 49 levels of Bina, so then what was his request and what was he denied from? So the Gemara goes on to explain. Bikish kohel sadun dinim shebalev shelo be'edim shelo be'sra. So he wanted to do the judicial system, but without the whole process. You know, the process is laborious. You need witnesses. They have to be kosher witnesses. They have to testify in order to punish anybody. You need hasra. You need a warning. The warning also has a lot of details in terms of how the warning needs to be issued and what needs to be the response to the warning. And okay, so in other words, there's a lot of protocol in terms of adjudicating. And what Shlomo HaMelech wanted to do was, let's judge, but without all that. Meaning he'll judge without all that. Okay, that's what he wanted. And the Amar Lo, and they said no, because of Yoshua Divrei Emes. So Al Pishnayim ate him. And so the response to Shlomo HaMelech is, no, you can't go against the Pasuk. Now here, in other words, this is in contrast to the previous approach. The previous approach is that you can't go against the Pasuk of Lo Kam B'Yisrael Kamo Sha'od, meaning that we don't have any other Navi. But according to this approach, where Shlomo has obtained the level of Bina, where he went up the ladder to 49 levels of Bina, so over here, which Pasuk is he not allowed to go against? He can't go against the Pasuk that says Shnei Edim. In other words, the judicial process, by definition, demands, it requires that you have two witnesses, etc., etc. So that's the request that he made, and that's what he was denied, the ability to judge without due process.
He was going to institute capital punishment without
Edim. I don't know if it was the Gemara suggesting that it was institution. I think, and I'm not saying I'm right, but I think what he was requesting is that he was able to judge without due process. I don't think he was planning on creating an institution like that.
No, I mean he would have someone Misa if there was a situation.
That's what it sounds like. That's what it sounds like. Look, the one incident. Very good. Okay, good. We're all thinking the same. So the one incident that we know regarding Shlomo HaMelech is that he actually judged the case without witnesses and with it, right. The incident with the baby and the two mothers, and okay, good. That was that's an example of him judging without the witnesses. Okay, and he wanted to do that on a regular basis. The Mishnah and Sanhedrin, right? Second paragraph of Sanhedrin says that a king can't be a judge. Okay, okay, all that considered, I don't know how that works over here according to this pshat. Anyway, all this served as a sidebar. Let's go back. We're now on the very top of Chav Bezim and Aleph Maisa. Sha'avri Yosem Me'arbim Zug, V'ikvam Rabbi Akiva, V'chulei Tanya, the Gemara quotes the Braisa, that just is going to give us a little more back and forth over here between the episode of Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Gamliel. Amar Rabbi Yehuda Chas V'shom, Sha'Rabbi Akiva Ikvan. So, Rabbi Yehuda now is going to give his version of the story, meaning the story is the same. That somebody stopped all these witnesses from coming. Now, the way we have the story in our Mishnah, it was Rabbi Akiva who stopped them. And then he got reprimanded by Rabbi Gamliel, the Nasi. Now, in this version of the story, in this Bryce, Rabbi Yehuda says it wasn't Rabbi Akiva. Who was it? Someone we never heard about. Or I'll speak personally. Somebody I never heard about. Ella Shasvar, I can't even pronounce the name. Shasvar Rosh Hashogeder Ikvan. Okay, so some individual who really I have no familiarity with. And Rabbi Gamliel not only reprimanded that individual, but also demoted that individual for making such a bad decision. Okay, so apparently in the Braisa, they simply had a different version of who was involved. And not only that, by the way, but it was such a bad decision, immediately it resulted in a demotion. Next Mishnah. Av uvno shirosa chodesh, yelchu. So let's say you have a father, son outside. Right, beautiful evening, they're outside, it's right around Rosh Chodesh, and they see the new moon. Ah, so now you have two witnesses, but they're related. And generally speaking, we know relatives can't testify together. So they're going to go to Beis Din together. Now, lo shim it start from zeim zeh. Now they can't testify together. Eloshim yipasol echem mehem yistarf hasheni imachir. It just happens to be that if, let's say, one witness becomes pasol or is pasol, so then the other one can be mitzarv. So in other words, so we basically have a jury pool. And so in the event that one of them gets knocked out for whatever reason, okay, so we'll have one of those two witnesses, and then we'll combine with somebody else. Good. So according to the Tanakhama of our Mishnah, so relatives cannot testify about the new moon. Now that, of course, is the most reasonable position, because we're talking here about Eidos. In other words, this is Eidos HaChodesh. Now granted that we're not testifying about a crime, we're not testifying about a loan, we're testifying about the moon, but In other words, once we're in the world of Eidus, you got to conform to the rules of Eidus. And Krovim cannot testify together. So that's the sheet of the Tanakhama. Rabbi Shimon in our Mishnah is Mechadesh. So he presents us now with a really novel position. Rabbi Shimon Omer, Avavanova, Chola Krovim, Cherem Leidus Achodesh. So Rabbi Shimon says relatives can testify about the new moon. And what Rabbi Shimon says is that, look, this is just categorically different. This is not Eidus in the classic sense. We're not testifying about a crime. We're not testifying about a loan. We're testifying about the witnessing of the new moon. There is nothing here that would ban or prohibit relatives to testify together. And according to Rabbi Shimon, Eidus HaChodesh is just simply different. It's a different type of Eidus, and you can have relatives testifying together. And so according to Rabbi Shimon, the father and son can come to Beis Din and testify together that they saw the new moon. I'm Rav Yossi, Maisa B'Tovia, Rav Fisher, Rav HaChodesh B'Yushalayim, Hu V'No, V'Avdo M'Shuchrar. So now the Gemara tells the following story about a doctor. Doctor's name was Tovia. So he saw the new moon, and he came to Yerushalayim. So it happens to be that he was flanked by his son and by his Eved M'Shuchrar. He had an Eved Kanani. The Eved Kanani was freed for whatever reason. We're not given details. And so now what I have over here is basically, I have him being flanked by his son, and by basically a ger. Okay, in other words, let's see, he was an Evan, now he's freed, he's a ger. So Vikiblo Kohanim Osovas Beno Pasos Avdo. So as far as the Kohanim are concerned, so who do they accept for testimony? Him and his son. So Kishabolif ne Basin Kiblo Osovas Avdo Upasos Beno. And then when he went to Beis Din, so the Beis Din accepted him and his Evan. Again, I say Evan over here, it's Mishukharar. So they accepted him and his Evan. And they disqualify the son because he can't testify together with the son. In other words, what the Kohanim and the Beis Din were arguing about was this very machlokus between the Tanakhama and Rabbi Shimon. And, right, kind of strange where, first of all, when they said the Kohanim accepted them, meaning if ultimately the Beis Din is the ones that are going to have to accept them, I'm not really sure why they were interviewing with the Kohanim. They were talking to the Kohanim. That part of the Mishnah I don't fully understand. But nevertheless, the point is that the Kohanim thought like Rabbi Shimon, that we can accept father-son. And when they finally got to the Beis Din, the Beis Din said, no, we're not accepting father-son. We'll take the Evan Meshuchar, that's fine, but we're not going to take the father-son.
I think the Beis Din was a special Beis Din of Kohanim, right? Which actually they went to first before they went to the...
Could be. I happen not to know, but good.
The previous Mishnah makes reference to Arvei and Sukhi, uh-huh. They came in pairs. So the Tanakhama here seems to be in conflict with that Mishnah, since the Mishnah...
Oh, I see. And he came with more than pairs. Could be. Also a possibility. I'm Rabbi Levi, my time is the Rabbi Shimon. Okay, so Rabbi Shimon is a chiddush. It's a tremendous chiddush. The idea that relatives can go and testify, where is he getting that from? So the Gemara says, Dichsiv, Yom HaShemah Moshe Ve'al Aaron Be'aretz Mitzrayim Lemor, Chodesh HaZeh Lachem. So where do we introduce to the mitzvah of Kiddush HaChodesh? That's in the beginning of the 12th parak of Shmos, right in Parshas Bo. So it says, now, HaKadosh Baruch Hu speaks to Moshe and Aaron. Moshe and Aaron, of course, are brothers. So, Eidazu Teikshir Rebachem. And the way the Rabbi Shimon understands the Pasuk is that the two of you, you could testify regarding the witnessing of the new moon, despite the fact that you're brothers. And V'Rabbana, now, the counter-argument would be, you really misunderstood what the intent of that Pasuk is. Eidazu Tehei Mesur Lachem. No. They're not the ones that are going to be testifying about it. They're going to be overseeing it. Meaning, so the Moshe and Aaron were just given the task of overseeing that the whole process of Kiddush HaChodesh. But once there is a requirement of Eidus is going to fit and conform to the regular rules of Eidus, and you can't have brothers testifying. You can't have any relative testifying together. I'm Rabbi Yossi, Maisa B'Tuvia Arofi, I'm Rav Chanan Barav Hilchusa Karebi Shimon. Okay. So can relatives testify? So we now know it's a machlokas. Machlokas is a mishnah between the Tanakhama and Rabbi Shimon. Who does the halacha follow like? So Rav Chanan bar Rava is quoted saying the halacha follows like Rabbi Shimon. So Amalei Rav Huna, Rav Chanan bar Rava, Rabbi Yossi, Umaisa v'atamad hilchos like Rabbi Shimon. What a curiosity. Right? You're passing like Rabbi Shimon. Did you see who's in conflict, who's not with Rabbi Shimon? So Rabbi Yossi, and we know, right, the Gemara in Erevin taught us, that when you have a machlokas between Rabbi Yossi and Rabbi Shimon, we're always going to fall like Rabbi Yossi over that of the sheet of Rabbi Shimon, right? The Gemara over there in Erevin, right, somewhere around Nun, right, Mem Tes Nun, somewhere there in Erevin. So it goes through the whole pecking order of which Tana do we follow over which Tana. So, and Rav Yossi basically is the trump. He trumps everyone, right, if it's a one-on-one. So Rav Yossi certainly is going to trump the sheet to Rabbi Shimon. How could you possibly like Rabbi Shimon against Rav Yossi? Furthermore, go back to the Mishnah and look at the incident that occurs at the end of the Mishnah, where when Tuvia the Rofe came with his son to the Beis Din, so Beis Din says, look, I'll accept you, obviously, but not together with your son. Oh, you have an Evan Meshuchar, so bring him along. But in other words, but not you and your son. So that clearly the Beis Din favored the sheet of Rabbi Yossi and rejected the sheet of Rabbi Shimon. So how could you possibly suggest the halacha goes like Rabbi Shimon? So well, Ma'aseh Atamar Tilchasak Rabbi Shimon Amar Lav Azim and Segin Amar Kamei Derav Hilchasak Rabbi Shimon V'Lamer Lev Lamidi. So he says, look, I hear you, but I'm just telling you that I went over this together with Rav numerous times. I said the halacha falls like Rabbi Shimon. I don't know. He didn't bat an eyelash. Right, he didn't react. It sounded like he was giving affirmation to the fact that the halacha falls like Rabbi Shimon. What else do you want me to tell you? So Amar Lei Hechi Tanisa. So he says, that's funny. What else do you want me to tell me? Here's what I would like to know. When you said over the machlokas of Rabbi Shimon and Rabbi Yossi in front of Rav, how did you say over the machlokas? Who said what? So Amar Lei Ipcha. So he says, oh, it's funny that you mentioned that. It happens to be that I got everything reversed. Meaning, yeah. I admit, by the way, this is an important detail. It's hard to deny. So I said that Rabbi Shimon was the one who said that you can't have relatives testifying, and then I said that Rabbi Yossi was the one who says that you can have witnesses testifying. So I reversed their positions. So the Mishum Hachilu Amalchav Lo Midi. So he says, good. That's why Rav didn't protest, because you got the names wrong, you got the positions correct. In other words, right, the one you reported to be Rabbi Shimon is the one who says that you can't accept relatives. Right, you got the designation wrong, you got the assignment wrong, but you got the halacha right. Now, it's funny, by the way, like, he didn't realize that. Like, it's weird. Meaning that he's now coming along and saying the halachas are Rabbi Shimon, that relatives can't testify, and his proof is the way he presented in front of Rav, and he himself didn't realize that when he presented in front of Rav, he reversed the positions. It's hard to imagine. Like, what? It sounds like it's just a little bit of negligence over here in terms of what happened. So Amar Tevi, Berei Demari Tevi, Amar Marukva, Amar Shmuel. Now, in our Gemara, our Gersa is Hilchasak Rabbi Shimon. But probably the correct yersa is to throw in the word ein hilchasak Rabbi Shimon. The halach is not like Rabbi Shimon. Meaning, we just saw together that machlok chun Rabbi Yossi and Rabbi Shimon. So we do in fact follow like Rabbi Yossi. And on top of that, you look up the poskim. Now I say poskim, by the way. You're not going to find this in Shulchan Aruch. No, right? He's not going to talk about how to be mekadesh hachodesh al pi re'iyah, al pi Beis Din. Right? This unfortunately is something that we have not done for many, many years. But you will find this in the Rambam. And when you look it up in the Rambam, of course, you're going to find that the halacha falls like Rabbi Yossi, that relatives cannot testify on Eidus HaChodesh. Okay. And just one more Mishnah going over, who can testify and who cannot testify? Elu hein apsulim, these are the people that cannot testify on the Eidus HaChodesh, meaning this really dovetails with the Mishnah that we learned in the third parak of Sanhedrin. Third parak of Sanhedrin goes and describes which witnesses are qualified, which are disqualified. And not only is it a dovetail, but you're going to find that most of the Mishnah over here is the same Mishnah that we had in the third parak in Sanhedrin. So Elo Hinapsulim, these are the people that are disqualified, cannot testify. The Chiddush, of course, over here is that we're not talking about classic Eidus, meaning we're not talking about litigation between two parties. We're not talking about over here criminal activity. We are just discussing over here the witnessing of the new moon and the reporting of that to the Beis Din. But again, once we put this into the framework of Eidus, so I need Kasher Eidim. So now, as long as you are disqualified in general to be an aid, so you can't testify over here as well. So what disqualifies you from being an aid? So the four examples that are given the Mishnah Sanhedrin are given over here as well. Misachi Bekubia, we'll do this quickly. So that's someone who gambles. Mave Beribis, someone who lends with interest. Mafricha Yonim, another form of gambling, some sort of racing pigeons. And Sochre Shvius are those people who do commercial activity with Shemitah produce. So the Torah says you can eat it, la'achla, v'lo'l'schara, but you can't do business with it. So that's a violation of the Torah in doing so. What do all four of these have in common? So the Gemara in Sanhedrin writes, as well as Rashi over here, these four have in common is that basically you're showing that you have greed, that you'll engage in questionable activities in order to gain money. once we see that you have you have this kind of sweet tooth towards money, and you'll do questionable activities for money. So then, of course, the next obvious step is somebody asks you to testify, even though you didn't see it. But if somebody asks you to testify and they're ready to pay you for it, okay, good. So I'll go ahead and I'll testify. Good. So those are the categories. And without going into detail over here, Tosa spends a good amount of time on today's daf discussing this, right? Let's say the example of Mava Beribis, right? Lending with interest. That's a Torah prohibition, right? Are we talking about questionable activities? Or are we talking about actual Torah prohibitions? It sounds like Mava Beribis said that particular example. You could say the same thing also regarding Sochrei Shvias. We're talking about violating Yisur Daraisa. It's more than questionable activities. Why does the Mishnah frame this under the category of questionable activities? See Tosfos, who discusses this at length. But anyway, we're going to go on. The Avadim. And also, the Mishnah has another case as well, and that's, of course, an Eved. And Eved's not allowed to testify, so an Eved can't testify for Eidus HaChodesh. Yeah. Oh, that was an Eved. I'm sorry. That was an Eved Meshuchar. So he's freed. So now he's a freed Eved is a ger. And our Eved over here is still an Eved. It's still an Eved Kanani. So Zeaklal Kaleidishena Yishuk Shera La Avhein Ein Sheren La. And the Mishnah says, and I'll give you a rule, and that is that if the woman can't testify about it, so then all the people, all the above, cannot testify about it as well. What does that mean? A woman can't testify. A woman can't testify in court in general. Now that of course is true. However, there are a couple of exceptions in which a woman can testify. So a woman can testify for, number one, Eidus Isha. If let's say a man went away and did not come back, and now the wife does not know where her husband is, and now she's an aguna, so the Gemara at the end of Yevamos, right, almost two full prakim at the end of Yevamos goes on to describe that a number of leniencies are given in order to allow to remarry. One of the leniencies is that you can have one aid. Furthermore, that one aid could be a woman, and she could testify that she knows that the husband died. And under those circumstances, now the woman can remarry. Okay, and I'm giving you the short version of that discussion. It is a much longer version, but anyway, that's one incident where a woman can testify, and the other one would be a sota. Now, what exactly happened? So the man warned his wife not to be with another man. She secluded herself with that other man after the warning. She now is a sota. Now that means what? Well, we don't know what happened. In other words, we certainly have our suspicions of what happened, but we don't know. And so now what happens is that she's taken to the base of mikdash and she drinks from the mesota. Okay. If, however, there is any kind of corroboration that she was with the man, so then she doesn't drink the mesota. Now she's what the Gemara describes as a sota vadai, meaning she, at that point in time, now we'll say definitively that she was mezana, that she committed adultery, and she won't be put to death, but now she's not going to be drinking the mesota. There's nothing left to figure out, meaning we know. And in terms of creating that corroboration, so what's allowed? The testimony of a woman. Okay, so there are limited circumstances where a woman can go ahead and testify. The point the Mishnah is making is that over here for Eidus HaChodesh, so we're not going to allow women to testify. These people can't testify. So the Gemara jumps immediately on the equivalency. So Aisha k'shera la, Afein k'shera la. Oh, so okay, fine. So here's now what we're also learning, meaning we're going to now just reverse engineer. So now we know that if a woman can't testify, so these people can't testify on Eidus HaChodesh. But when in an area where a woman can testify, we went over the two examples. So now all these questionable Eidim can also testify as well. Now I'm being nice, by the way. I'm calling them questionable Eidim. They're more than they're puzzle Eidim. But if I have a circumstance like Eidus Isha, like Sota, the confirmation of a Sota. So if a woman can testify in those areas, so these Eidim that we just listed in our Mishnah can also testify as well. So I'm Rav Ashi, Zosomeris, Gazlan de Divrehem, Kshirim le Eidus Isha. Okay, so if I have a Gazlan de Divrehem, a rabbinic thief, not somebody who steals from rabbis, a rabbinic thief, meaning basically everyone we described in our Mishnah, meaning someone who violated Gazlanus, but only on a rabbinic level, right? Like, for example, gambling, okay? Now, again, I'm not going, this is a much longer discussion, much longer. But right now, let's just say it simply, Okay, just a safe shot in our Gemara, right? When you gamble, so it's gzeila derabanan. Again, it's a gross oversimplification. And the truth of the matter is, what I'm saying is probably not halachically correct. But you're a gazlan derabanan. Rashi over right over here in our Mishnah. So he says it's a gazlan derabanan because what qualifies as gzeila deraisa? When I take something out of somebody's hand and he didn't want me to do so. That's gzeila deraisa. What's gambling? Oh, we're sitting around the table. Everyone's ready to give up their money. Nobody's really ready to give up their money. Nobody wants to lose. But in other words, but there seems to be a little bit more of a, okay, here, take it. So that's not gzeila midaraisa. That, if anything, is gzeila derabanan. So the Gemara says that a gazlan derabanan, so he could testify about Eidus Isha. So if the guy is an habitual gambler and he won't be able to testify in a court of law, but if it's Eidus Isha, so he can go ahead and he can testify. Good. We have one more mission to go. Misha raus a chodesh veinu yochol ha'alech molichin oso ala chamor. So let's say somebody sees a chodesh and he himself does not have the ability to walk on his own power. So, okay, so you put him on a donkey. Afilo b'mita, let's say the donkey can't hold him. He doesn't have the physical ability to ride a donkey. So good. So you put him in a wheelchair, put him on some sort of bed, and v'im tzud alehem lochim biyadam maklos. Now let's say there may be some sort of ambush. Okay, so bring the guns and v'im haisa derech rechoka lochim biyadam mizonos. What if it's a really long journey? Okay, so bring some food. Now, by the way, again, when we say really long journey, it can't be more than a day's worth of journey, because otherwise there's no point to be mechal Shabbos. And the Mishnah spells it out. The Mishnah says it can't be more than a night and a day. Okay, Adkan. And that is the end now of the first parak of the Masechta. So obviously what just happened over here, these last Mishnahs that we just went through. So now we are full-blown discussing Kiddush HaChodesh. So we are now going to be discussing, as we open up the second parak of the Masechta, more on the mitzvah of Kiddush HaChodesh. Im einan makirin oso. Let's say we don't know these witnesses. Okay, there's a lot of Jewish people, and so it's very possible that the one who shows up in Beis Din in Yerushalayim, who's ready to testify. So who is he? I don't know. You know him? No. Okay, it's more than possible. Now, before we read the Mishnah, so what do we know under normal circumstances? So of course, under normal circumstances, everyone has a cheskes kashrus. Someone shows up to shul, right? We don't know who he is. Now we happen to be out of town, so we're going to be a little bit nicer. Okay, hello, how are you? Good. And now he says, okay, I'd like an aliyah. Okay, we'll give him an aliyah. You like to daven for the amud? You know how to daven for the amud? Yeah. Okay, but in other words, we generally assume that when someone comes in and reports that he's Jewish, so generally speaking, he has a cheskes kashrus. So over here, in terms of Eidus, so the same thing. We're going to assume that the person has a cheskes kashrus. Good. So does he need verification, right? Does he need anyone to validate him? Anyone to sign off on him? So the answer, of course, min haTorah is no. You don't need to do so. Okay, somebody makes aliyah nowadays, for the last however many years. So you need somebody to sign off that the person is in fact Jewish. Okay. I always find it to be funny. Right, good, so you have somebody sign off, okay. How does that, right, they usually, generally speaking, have a rabbi sign off, yes, I'm Jewish, and, okay, good. Now we know he's Jewish. Okay, good. So but min haTorah, everyone has a cheskes kashrus, and everyone is presumed to be kosher. And that's not only true just in terms of his Yiddishkeit, it's true in terms of him being a kosher aid. Right, somebody comes to Beis Din and says, I'm a kosher aid. Okay, why not? In other words, okay, let's assume the best. And everyone starts off with a cheskes kashrus. However, as we will learn together, so there was historical trouble. We'll go into more details on that in just a little bit from now. So there was historical trouble. So then, basically what happened is that we needed verification. We needed validation. Now, how does validation come about? So in other words, you need people to come along. Now, I can't say this too confidently because I don't know. But presumably, Basin already knows who these validators are. I'm not sure about that point. I myself am a little bit back and forth on that, but I would assume that, or just, I don't know, stomp two more people. I don't know. It's hard to imagine that you could just simply bring two two more people, and they're going to be the validators, and Basin doesn't know who they are, and they're validating you. Okay, so I'm guessing, but I may be wrong. I'm open to being wrong. The validators are people that Basin already knew who they are. Anyway, so you need to come with your validators, and that's what the Mishnah here is describing. If Basin doesn't already know who you are, so you don't have pre-check now in going into Basin. So Mashachnimo, Achir, Lahaido. So what you're going to do is you're going to bring in other people. Now the Mishnah says Achir, which sounds like you're going to bring in one. Sounds like from the Mishnah that you only need one validator. The Gemara is going to challenge that. Now originally, anyone can give Eidos. Again, we have everyone has a Cheskas Kashrus. However, Mishnah Kilkolabe, Tusimit Kinishli, Mikabam Elaminam Akirin. But then the Baitusim got involved. Now the Baitusim are a sectarian group. They are a group of people who rejected Torah Shabbat Peh, and they made trouble. Why they made trouble? So stay tuned. We're going to describe that in more detail. So my Acher Chad. So how many validators are we talking about? We're moving right to the Gemara. So we're talking about now one validator. So the Gemara says, really? V'chad mi mehemen? One validator? That's acceptable? V'atanya, as we are now on the top of Chavetz Amad Beis. Maisa Shabahu Vedav Imo Lahaid Alav. So he brought in his witnesses. So Amar Papa, my Acher Zug Acher. So the Gemara says, okay. So you're right. You're absolutely right. When the Mishnah said the word Acher, it means a pair. Right? In the Torah itself, whenever the Torah talks about a pair of Edim, the Torah uses the word aid to describe a pair. So too over here in our Mishnah. When it's describing validators, it means a pair. Look, we're saying the right pshat in the Mishnah. Because if I read on in the Mishnah, it says if they don't recognize him. Now, him in the singular, what are you talking about? You can't have one person testifying about the new moon. So, elamai oso, oso azug. So, oso, even though it's in the singular, it means, you know, that group. But it's referring to a pair. So, hachinami, my acher, zug acher. So, the validators also have to be two. V'chad la mehemen, v'atanya, the Gemara says, now wait 1 second. I have a braisa. The braisa reads, maisa b'rebi nurai, shalach etzal ha'ir, lahayit alav, b'shabbos b'usha. So, Rebbe Nurai went in order to testify in the town of Usha. So, Usha, by the way, Beis Din was exiled to Usha at a later point in time, meaning after Churban Beis HaMikdash. So, Beis Din jumped around to 10 different cities, exiled, moving from place to place. Anyway, one of the places they went to was Usha. So, this was after the Churban Beis HaMikdash. Anyway, but the point is, only one person testified according to the Braisa. I'm Rabbi Nurai, Sahadachrinava Badevalo, Vahadalo Chashiv Lemishim Kvodosh Rabbi Nurai. The Gemara says, okay, I know it just says Rabbi Nurai, there was someone else with him, but Rabbi Nurai was such an Adam Gadol, so they just simply didn't mention who was with him. Rav Ashi, I'm a Rabbi Nurai, Sa'ad Achrina Hava Be'usha, V'azah Rabbi Nurai, Le'itz Terufei Be'hadei. So the Gemara says, well, no, the truth of the matter is that Rabbi Nurai went by himself, meaning, let's read the Braisa Kipshuto, but it just simply means that he went by himself, but in terms of testifying, there was already somebody else there in Usha. So So the Gemara says, okay, so now I'm looking for the Chiddush in the Braisa. What novel ideas is the Braisa coming to teach me? So Mao Detema, Misfeka, Lo Michalin on Shabbos. Ah, this was on Shabbos. And now he's going to be Michal Shabbos, but he's only by himself. In other words, when he gets there, it may turn out that there may be nobody else there. And it turned out now that post facto that he was Michal Shabbos. So that's the Havamina. So Kamash Malan, the Chiddush is no. The Chiddush is that even if you run that risk, it doesn't matter. In other words, you're Michal Shabbos in order to testify. It turns out that you may not be needed or you may not be enough. Doesn't matter. In other words, again, we want to encourage, not discourage, right? Like we learned in the Amud Aleph of today's daf. Ki asa ula amar kechula yarcha b'marava. So ula says that, you know what? They were mekash the chodesh. So now, again, you gotta keep it straight. We are not describing right now the process of sanctifying the month. We're talking about where it was sanctified, and we're just simply now talking about disseminating the information. Okay, so Ula says it happened. So Amar Rav Kahana lo mi bai Ula de gav Rabba hu de mehemen ela afilu inishama nami mehemen. Now, in terms of disseminating, one person can disseminate, and he is credible. Now the Gemara says, "My time." Kol milso David de la glu de la mashakre be inish. So because over here, credibility is extended to one informer, because this is information that's going to become public, meaning everyone's going to know the truth. When you are just simply forwarding information which is verifiable, so you are extended credibility. This is the principle of milsa de aside la gluye, something which eventually is going to become known in public. So look, if you were to lie, you're going to get caught. So over here, that's enough of a check in order to make sure that this person is not going to lie. And so therefore, even one person is extended credibility. Okay. So Tanya Mehachi, we learned in the Brice as well. Ba'achar b'sofa olam v'amar kishu beisim s'chodesh ne'amon. And the Bryce over here says it with unbelievable clarity, and that is that you have one person, he comes from nowhere, he says that based on was Mekash HaChodesh, so he's believed. So Brishuna, you Mekav Me'ez HaChodesh, but me call Adam Tan Rabbanan. And so from here until the Mishnah, which is where we're going to end, so we are given a little more detail in terms of how the Baitusim got involved and how they really ruined it for the rest of us. Tan Rabbanan, we learned in the Bryce. Ma kilku kilku la Baitusim ba'machas bikshu Baitusim la'atos es ha'chachamim. So there was an occasion where what they wanted to do is that they wanted to mislead. They wanted to testify the wrong day of Rosh Chodesh. Rashi over here gives us the background in terms of why they wanted to do that. In other words, not just to be a pain, but they had their quote-unquote halachic consideration. Remember, they are accepting of the Torah, but not of the Torah Shabbat Peh, and they really were of the position that Shavuos should fall out on a Sunday. So what they did is that they manipulated the calendar, specifically Rosh Chodesh Adar, so that Shavuos would end up becoming on a Sunday. Well, in order for Shavuos to become on a Sunday, so that means that Pesach needs to be on a Shabbos. So they were basically testifying so that Pesach would be on a Shabbos. They looked at the calendar. They basically said that, look, they were only one day away. If we adjust Adar, so then Pesach will do so. So they came to testify about the month of Adar. In order to do so they had to fabricate, meaning they didn't see the moon, but they testified in order so that Adar would be adjusted, so that Nisan would be adjusted, so that eventually Shavuos would fall out on a Sunday. Okay, because the Torah says Mimacharas HaShabbos in describing Shavuos. So, actually it says Mimacharas HaShabbos in terms of describing the Omer, where we start counting Torah Shavuos. But anyway, it comes out to be the same. So Pam Achas Bikshu by Tusam Latosus Chachamim. So Scharu Shnei Bnei Adam, what they did is they paid two people. So Bidal Meir Zuz. That's a lot of money. So Echad Mishalan Ve'Echad Mishalahem. Now it happens to be that they did a poor job doing a background check on the witnesses, because one of them was actually one of ours. Okay? We had an insider. Okay. So Hey De Dusa Vyatza Vyatza. So now theirs went and testified and he left. And Shalanu Amrulo and more Ketzarisa Salavana. And so now our insider. Now it seems like at this point in time we didn't know that he was an insider. Okay? But anyway, he was sympathetic to the traditionalists, to the Baal HaMasorah, right? What we call the Purushim. Anyway, and so now he's gonna testify about the moon that he didn't see, but he's gonna be so ridiculous in the way he testifies about it. That we realize, oh, something fishy is going on. So Amalahem Ola Isa Ben Mala Adumim. So I said, I went to Mala Adumim and Raisa Shuhu Ravutz Bein Beis Salayim. And there he was, he meaning a description of the moon, crouched between two stones, Rosha Domala Egel. You know, the head looked like a calf, and Aznav Domala Gedi. And the ears looked like a goat. And Karanav Domos Tzvi. The horns resembled a deer. And Znavomana Chasov Bein Yarkasov. And the tail is right between the thighs. When I looked at it, I immediately jumped back. It was just such a vision. I just jumped right back. Now, all this sounds unbelievably silly. And I am sure, okay, and I didn't do the research. I apologize. But I'm sure that if you look up the Marsha over here, so he will explain how every detail over here is some sort of remez to the fact that that this is a group of Baitusim that are testifying. Okay, now I'm sure there is meaning behind every description that he gave. In the meantime, however, and he continues. And oh, by the way, if you don't believe me, he says, look, I got 200 zuz, meaning I was paid. Okay, so he full admission. And again, he was an insider. In other words, his whole point of accepting the money was to come to Basin and basically to smoke out the fact that this is a group of Baitusim who are trying to do this. So Amar lo mi his kekucha lekach. So he says, look, who put you up to this? So Amar lehem shamati shebikshu baitustam latosos chachamim. So he says, look, it happens to be that, okay, let's just say I don't hang around the best places, and I overheard, whatever the case is, and I overheard that this is what the baitustam wanted to do. Amarti alechani ve'odi alehem shemi yavo b'nei adam sheinim u'ganim v'yitus chachamim. So I said, look, I happen to be sympathetic to you. And so I took the money, and basically my job was to undermine their attempts. And apparently I did a good job. So Amar lo masayim zuz nesunim lach b'matana v'hasor chacha yimtach al ha'amud. So they said, okay, good. First of all, a big yesher koach. That's number one, right? Okay. I know that wasn't there in the Gemara, but okay, yesher koach. Number two, you get to keep the money. Now Rashi writes over here, you get to keep the money based on what? Hefker, based on hefker, right? They have that ability to disavow people of whatever money they have, to give it to whomever they want. Comes up many times throughout Shas. Okay, hefker based on hefker. And finally, and Rashi quotes the pasuk in Ezra. Good. And finally, the people, the Baitusim, who wanted to undermine Rosh Chodesh, so they got a beating. So ba'osa shayit kinnushol yimakam elam and amakirim. And it's from that point going forward historically now that if you wanted to testify about the new moon, so you need to verify, either you were verified or you need a verification. You were pre-checked or there was a screening. And the screeners were basically going to be another pair of witnesses who are going to testify about you. Adkan.